Blog Talk Radio.
This is Crosswalk Talk with Carlotta Waldman. Carlotta is the founder of Crosswalk Life Ministries, an ordained minister of counseling, registered nurse, and Bible college educator. I'm Dan Baker, and welcome to this edition of our broadcast. Crosswalk Talk is a weekly Christian talk show all about knowing and experiencing God in our lives. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk the walk. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your show, your opportunity to share true stories of healing, miracles, provision, and God intervening in the lives of people today. And now, here's Carlotta.
Well, good evening. So happy to be with you tonight. So happy you've joined us. As I was listening to my ex-pastor, Gary Oates, share about dreams and visions and knowing God's presence and hearing God through our senses and everything, I was like, that sounds like something I've taught. That sounds like something Mark Berkler and I talked about. Let's do that again. And I believe that God gave me some new insights for myself. As much as I've been practicing this daily for years, I believe God was showing me that I hear God more than I think I do, and I got a lot of insight and revelation. So if you're ready to hear that maybe you have been experiencing God's presence or His voice or hearing Him or feeling Him or discerning Him in new ways and how you can discern Him better, I'd like to share some things with you. If you believe that you've never heard God's voice, never seen a picture or a vision or anything from Him, you might be surprised tonight. You might find out that He has been meeting with you and you just didn't know it was Him. Maybe you learned, like I did, that God doesn't do that anymore and that overrode what you actually experienced. Or maybe you have been taught that certain verses in the Bible aren't for today and so you never paid any attention to them, like I didn't. But you can learn to discern God's language, how He communicates with you, and how to interpret what He has shown you, even if it's in the past. It's not too late. God knew that you would just be catching on to that now. And you can learn how to activate your spiritual senses to be even more trustworthy than your natural senses. How about that? You can learn to trust what you see in the spiritual realm, what you hear, even what you feel in the spiritual realm. You can actually smell things in the spiritual realm, but maybe you didn't know it was in the spiritual realm. Maybe you've heard God's voice, but thought it was your own thought, thought it was the devil, thought it was your mother speaking. You just didn't know, and you can learn to discern what is God's voice and what isn't. One thing that I had been told a long time ago by an intercessor, she said, well, if you hear something, just ask God, is that you? So I tried that. But how many of you know if you believe that you don't hear God, then you won't trust the answer to that either. But you can learn. And I began to learn that you can actually smell demons sometimes. And I actually smell them in a house where I was called to go in and pray for the sick. I've smell demonic presence when I was in a house where a minister had started an adulterous affair and his house actually smelled awful, smelled different. Now, I'm not saying everybody could notice it, but you, if you have the Holy Spirit, have access to His spiritual senses. And that includes hearing and seeing and touching and, you know, what you feel. It includes even taste. Taste and see that God is good, and you can learn to discern. You may have seen pictures and not know that they were from God. You thought they were your imagination. Well, your imagination is often your spirit functioning. Not all the time, because just as you have like a mind, will, and emotions in your soul, but you also have mind, will, and emotions in your spirit. You've got the mind of Christ. You've got the desires and heart and will of God functioning inside you and Jesus Christ inside you. You've got His emotions. You've got God's heart functioning inside you, and you can learn to discern which is His and which is of the devil. And I don't even say that much anymore to God. Is it me or is it you? Because 1 Corinthians 6:17 says that he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And John 17 talks about us being one with Christ, even as he's one with God. And you may have heard God. I'll hear people say that they haven't heard God and that nobody can hear God today. And yet they'll say, well, God told me to go to this school. Or I just knew the directions when I didn't know them in the natural. Or I heard God say no. And so they kind of contradicted themselves. There's certain things in their circles that it's okay to hear. You know, it's okay to hear God say repent. It's okay to hear God say that you need to be saved and today's the day of salvation. Amen. Maybe you felt something. Maybe you felt a chill in a room or on a property, and it was just that spot. You could walk in and out of it. And you wondered if it was a demonic presence there, but you thought, nah, I don't believe in that. Or God wouldn't show that to me. Maybe somebody else, but not to me. Maybe you felt a warmth after a particularly nice devotional time or worship time or prayer time, and you felt a warmth, a peace, a comfort. This is God's presence. Maybe you felt your hair stand up on end when you came around certain people or in certain environments. And this could be you noticing the absence of God's presence there. It could be a demonic presence. Job said that his hair stood up on end, and what he feared came upon him. Well, fear in the Bible is always a spirit. It's never described as an emotion. I'm not saying it can't be, but those are just examples. You know, the Bible says taste and see that God is good. And so some things are described as sweet in the Bible, some things as bitter. And maybe you've been seeing in the spiritual realm and you didn't know it. If you've got friends that have these kinds of questions and doubt that that anyone can hear in the spirit, then, you know, call them, 917-388. I forgot, 9683. And invite them to listen, 4683. 917-388-4683. Invite them to listen tonight, because we're going to be talking about the very things, very real questions that people have. Maybe you did see an angelic presence, a form of a heavenly being, maybe Jesus Christ himself, but it was blurry, and so you doubted it. Maybe it was transparent instead of opaque. Maybe actually an angelic presence came in human form. I've told stories about that. I've seen my ministry angel many times in a human form, and I learned to recognize him in the crowd. And maybe you saw orbs or rays of light or a bright light, and you didn't know if it was an angel or if it was Jesus, and maybe you discounted it, thinking, oh, I'm imagining things. But you can see with the eyes of your spirit into the spiritual realm, the Bible says. You can see snapshots, quick pictures, or an open vision. Many times you've probably had an imagination, an event happening, or maybe the fulfillment of something you've been praying for, or a warning of something that we'd need prayer against. And you thought, man, I need to quit imagining stuff like that, and it was actually God. So whether you think you're hearing God's voice or you're sure, you can put it to the test. It doesn't have to be audible to be God. It can be a spontaneous thought that goes through your mind that you know that that wouldn't be part of your natural thought. I'm a Nava prophet, and that means that God's thoughts and words just bubble up inside me. It's just suddenly there. As I say or agree with one sentence from God, I get another one. Many times, I don't even know the whole sentence before I open my mouth and he fills it. For other people, it's more like a ticker tape. They see the words just going along. Some people see one word or sign at a time or get words of knowledge that way. Maybe you've seen numbers. I know around a certain election, I saw the numbers 444. And I looked that up, and I found out that 4 is about a rule or reign. And being 444, it would be intensely something, very good or very bad. And I knew that it was a warning. I knew that God was saying that this ruler, this government is going to be worse than you've imagined. And so that was from God, and I saw the fulfillment of it. Many of you have prayed Ephesians 1:18 about the eyes of your heart, you know, being enlightened and having revelation and wisdom. And God has been answering that and been giving it to you, but you've got kind of a false humility and you haven't really been able to admit to yourself, I'm really hearing from God or feeling God's presence this often. Hallelujah. So just like we have mind, will, and emotions, in our soul, actually in our body too, because in your body it would be your brain or your lusts or your feelings, and you have that in all three levels, body, soul, and spirit, because you're a triune being made in God's image. Bob Jones put it a funny way. He said, you know, you can see with, you can hear, no, how do you say it? You can see with your ears, that's what it was. You can see with your ears. Like if I say to you, a Bible, what do you picture? You picture a Bible. If I say to you, the apple in the garden, immediately you can picture a whole tree and an apple. And our senses work together like that. Habakkuk 2:2-4 said something like that too. Habakkuk said he was looking to see what God would say to him. Well, you don't usually look to see what God's saying. We would say you listen. But usually our senses work together. Oftentimes, all it takes to be more prophetic and to hear God's voice is to keep looking or keep listening. This is something that was reiterated this weekend and something that I had shared in the How to Hear God's Voice course, too. If you read Daniel 7 and 8 and just kind of mark it, you can see that Daniel kept looking and kept looking, and he wrote it that way. And then I looked and saw again. I looked and heard again. And you know, many of us, when we're hearing God's voice in the beginning, we're kind of like somebody that gets their first kiss. You're so excited about the first kiss, you don't think, is there more? And of course, some of you didn't have that problem, I realize. But many times when we're first learning to prophesy, we're so excited with the first thing that we get, we don't think to ask God, now how does that apply? Of course, we might not say it out loud. We're just listening for how it applies, listening to who all it will affect or where or what, you know, is needed and what are you going to do, God? You know, if this is what you're prophesying to this person. The thing that I less, I less often get is when. You know, I'm very hesitant to say when unless I'm absolutely sure that it's God. But that's how we do in our prophetic training seminars. We'll give you a safe place to listen and to share with someone who has promised not to give this word or not to make huge decisions based on this word and to let you practice. You're allowed to miss it because you've got to have some place to start. In the Bible, there were schools of the prophets. But what we learn to do is take what you initially get and then do what we call press in for more. That doesn't mean you make it happen. That means you keep looking or keep listening, just like John the Revelator did. You can mark that in the book of Revelation too. He kept looking, and he saw more, and he kept listening, and he heard more, and so they modeled that for us. It's not just Daniel and John that did that. It can be a way of life for you and I. So another thing is maybe when you're worshiping, you're more likely to feel the presence of God, to hear his voice, to see pictures of what God wants to do. And you might have thought, well, I'm just imagining what God would like to do in this church if he could. But you can ask him, is that you? Because God might be showing you what he wants to do and wanting you to agree with him and pray it that way, declare it that way, or proclaim it that way. So you might have even smelled something. You might have smelled incense or sweet fragrance. For instance, I was in an arena with 6,000 people once and just smelled an incense-like fragrance take over the whole place. There's no way that somebody caused that to happen. And I have felt the wind or the breeze of the Holy Spirit go all around in a huge building like that. And sometimes I'm mischievous. Like I was in a church and we were singing one of the oldies that talks about the touch of angels' wings. And I just really lightly touched the shoulder of somebody in front of me, and they were so startled. And then I looked around, and they were so wide-eyed, like, was that really an angel's wing? But I know my husband has mentioned several times about feeling a huge hand across his shoulders, and his shoulders are big anyway, but he describes how the fingers went down his chest, you know, this huge hand, and he felt sure that it was an angel instructing him, go forward or whatever. And years before I believed in all of this, God was showing me through experience that it was real. I would not really believe too much in anything but the written word of God, and that was the only way I knew that you could experience God, what was written down that he used to do, or is, what his character is, or prophecy in the book of Revelation or something. But God began to show me that I could bind every demonic spirit and every other influence and trust the Holy Spirit to even provide me with flip opens. Now, I know some of you are going to gasp and preach against this, but I have a flip open anointing, and I have been doing it for like 40 years. My daughter has it too. We can ask God. We usually just ask him what's on his mind, but if we're really desperate, you know, God knows when you're at the end of the rope. Like I just asked him once, how much longer, God, how much longer? And I turned to a passage where he said, and he worked that garden, something like that, for three more years. And I knew that that story was God asking me to stay there in that place for three more years, or for the third year, I think it was. Many of you have been discerning, and were afraid to admit it, or maybe you were taught that it doesn't happen, or you just stopped too soon. You didn't know that you could ask God, and what about that? And how? How will this happen, or where? And what I suggest is when you think you've heard from God, that you write it down first. That's the first thing. It'll vaporize and get away from you if you don't. And you don't have to know if it's God. You don't have to know how much of it's God. Just write down what you've got. Then, afterwards, ask God to help you discern what was him and what wasn't. And then, you can also submit it, is a really good thing to do, submit it to three trusted spiritual advisors who you really trust, and they can help you to know and confirm if that was God. And then just the big thing is just to practice looking and listening daily, because it's like anything else. The more times you pray for people to be healed, the more people you'll see healed. There'll be an increase to it. It may take it a while, but and you might have to sit in God's presence for an hour or two or three right at first. But I'm telling you, it'll be worth it, and we'll get to the point where you can just go instantly into God's voice, hear his voice, hear his instructions or guidance, or you'll almost, I think I've gotten to the place where if I don't hear it right away, I just figure it's not God's timing to tell me, because I hear things quickly now. Now, there are other things that he doesn't want me to know yet, and no matter how long I wait and listen, I'm not going to hear it because he's not ready. But many of you can prophesy, you just don't know it. You do hear from God. And if you had opportunities, like in our prophetic team training, to practice in a safe place where you know you wouldn't harm anybody, you would find out when you're given an opportunity to prophesy for like 30 seconds and then a minute, and then we encourage you to go, you know, maybe 2 minutes, you'll find out before long in that training weekend that you're wanting to not be limited. You're wanting to be able to just go on. And it just takes practice to get that confidence that I really am discerning what's God and what's not. Let's see. Many people are really helped by learning to ask God questions about what they've heard. And it may be that he will tell you more. I heard God talking to me about, you know, to give this teenage girl in a service a prophecy that he had planned her birth and the timing of it. And I was kind of like arguing with God, saying that's too generic. That's true of every person here. But I just asked God, well, what about that? And he told me to minister to her his purpose and his calling and her gifting and her value in him. And I still didn't know exactly the application, which is often the case. If you're going to wait to know exactly how to interpret a thing and how to apply it, you may never prophesy, because he only tells you in part. A lot of it has to be by faith, just to say it the way he says to say it. But when I inquired of her mother, I found out that her mother was her adoptive mother, that her biological mother had tried to abort her 3 times. Well, all of a sudden, the whole word that I'd given took on new meaning, because hers wasn't just a case like everybody else's, that God had planned her birth and the timing of it, and he let her know that he had had a special interest in her all along and had protected her life, even in spite of 3 abortion attempts. Absolutely amazing. Well, okay, for instance, on last week's program, if you listen to that, you'll hear one of the first prophetic words that I gave. I just told a lady that the Lord says that, I said that I saw flags flying, and I saw her taking the land back. She had a small hand shovel in her hand, and she was burying small New Testaments in the corner of properties, and, you know, that it didn't have to be deep or anything, and I went on to explain the instructions. And then she confirmed on the air that she had a vision for doing that with teens, that she had done it before, that God was telling her to start doing it again, that this prophecy in that much detail was a confirmation that they had been doing it right, to continue doing it. And there it was. See, if I had ignored the fact, when I first saw those flags flying, I was tempted, since I asked God what that was about and I didn't hear anything real specific about flags, I was tempted to doubt the whole thing. But I just went ahead and gave it, and I'll tell you one reason why. On another program, I saw balloons, a bunch of balloons, and I asked God, and I didn't get any interpretation for that, and I left that part out. I just skipped to the second thing, and I didn't include it. And when I finished prophesying to her, she asked me, through email, she asked me if I had seen more than I had said, and I confessed. And I said, actually, that I had seen some balloons. She said, that's it. She said, I called in because I was wondering whether God wanted me to start a balloon and gift store. So there you go. Sometimes you ask God, what about it? Who, what, when, why, and where? And you don't get an answer. So the important thing is, if he just says, this is me, declare it, prophesy it, you know, obey it, whatever. You know, Jesus very often used natural pictures, natural things like balloons or flags, things like that, but not that. He used parables to tell spiritual truths. He used natural things to minister to people in the spirit. He used metaphors. He used natural events to represent spiritual events. And so God may have been talking to you through natural symbols, and you kind of sensed that there was something special about that, but maybe not knowing that you can ask God questions, maybe you didn't journal it, maybe you didn't ask your spiritual advisors, what do you think about this? Maybe you're just now realizing that could have been significant. And if you are, there's no condemnation. I mean, God will show you in the right timing how and where it applies. Other times, you may have had dreams or visions that you were just sure had nothing to do with God, because it seemed just way too natural. I have a recurrent dream that I am in the arms of a man, and it's generally a faithless man. It's not about an affair. It's not about my husband. It's just about intimacy, of being close, of, you know, just communication in an intimate way. It might have sweet words in it, or it might have kissing in it. And people are thinking, well, you know, I have lust dreams. I have dreams from demonic spirits. But this is not that. This is a, like a clean kind of intimacy. I've even had this man ask me if he could meet with me at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I feel like these dreams about this sweet, clean, intimate, pure intimacy with like a lover, these are Jesus. And I've had a lot of people confirm that, that he's communicating his desire to spend time with me. And it's also coming from my heart to want to order my priorities so I can spend more time with him. And the 2 o'clock request, I think that was really God saying, well, you have time for me by 2 o'clock this afternoon. Whoa. But this applies to everybody, really, because Acts 2:17 and 18 says, the old and the young will have dreams and visions. And I believe that far more of our dreams are spiritual dreams and are symbolic of spiritual things than we know. And it's a lot of times not until you write it down to reflect on it a few times during the day that all of a sudden it hits you what this dream is symbolizing. The Bible says, what is it, Proverbs 29:8, that without a vision the people perish. And so God has been dedicated to giving us visions and speaking us through dreams when our mind is turned off, so to speak, and he can reach us spirit to spirit since the beginning, since Genesis. I've also had a dream where Jesus is in a hotel room with me with big picture windows, and we're looking at the sunrise together and just spending that time, you know, just looking at his glorious creation. And I believe that God just, he just wants that much time with us, and that's why I dream this over and over. Before I believed that anyone could hear from God or see things from God, God was trying to get through to me. Now, this is a funny one. It's kind of adult rated, but I, for many years as a teenager, was so skinny. I was just all bones, and I didn't have any figure, and I was complaining to God. And this is when I first realized that I had a flip-open anointing, too. I flipped open to Song of Solomon in the back, where he says, what shall we do for our little sister, for she has no breast? Shall we build a wall for her? And I burst out laughing, because I thought, I don't know what in the world building a wall has to do with it. But God heard my complaint. God has a sense of humor. And I've recognized God's sense of humor ever since. He's just really amazing. He loves puns. I have dreamed over and over and over when I was going to a church that taught that you don't get any more revelation than what's in the Bible. That's it. You can't get more revelation. If you do, it's from the devil. But I would dream things that would come true. And my father had that gift too. And we would know that we know this is that dream. I also saw Jesus standing in the corner of my hotel room when I was at a conference, and I was really hungry for more, but there were so many things that I didn't believe were for today that when I saw him standing there, and he literally said to me in the spirit voice, not loud, 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 booming voice, but he said, as you've been saved by faith, now walk by faith, you know, live by faith. Thought, wow, you know, this doesn't even happen anymore. It's amazing how we've been taught, what we've been taught can override even our actual experience. Amen. But he also taught me to proclaim things before I knew what that was or knew whether to believe in it or not, because I needed money to go on a college musical trip for ministry. And I just said to my prayer partner, well, I'll just open my Bible and it'll be there, something like that. Nobody knew I was going to say that but God, and it was there to the penny, right there inside my Bible. I didn't know anything about declaring things into existence or proclaiming by faith, God was teaching me himself. God showed me that a man was not in the city that he said he was in, and he showed me what he was doing in the other city, which is not what he said he would be doing. And I asked him, and I found out it was true. And I thought I was just being suspicious. I was rebuking, saying, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You know, bind you, devil. Because he had showed me also that another man was having an adulterous affair. I inquired about that, found out that was true too. And I had been kicking myself for having an accusing spirit myself. But it was God. See, how you need to find out if things are God or not, because maybe you hear from God and just start a lot better than you think. In Hebrews 13:2, it says, do not neglect to entertain strangers, because you might be entertaining angels unaware. And quite a few times I've seen angels appear in human form, and there were, you know, they were doing things, and they did it each time they appeared, and also that I knew it was the same angel, and I knew that they were manifesting in human form, so maybe you've seen angels that way too. I knew where to go for my nurse's training. I knew my calling to ministry when it came. I knew where to go and what organization to join. And these were spontaneous thoughts that were from God. I didn't, know to think that thought. But what happened was, when I finally did receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I shut it down. And some of you may have received tongues, for instance, and thought, what was that? You know, that doesn't happen today, or that's of the devil, and you may have shut it down, but there's still hope. Because even after I received this glorious gift of evangelism, I was too emotional every time people got saved, and I knew being emotional couldn't be from God, according to my church. And so I rejected it, and I quenched it for about 20 years. I didn't know that I might be gifted in the area of healing, for instance, that God was there, that he was wanting to operate through me in that, until my little dog needed surgery and I couldn't afford it. So I was able to pray for healing because I didn't have the money. And before the evening was over, he who could not walk at all on that lake was up and leaping and praising God. And I thought my dog was really, really healed. But that had already confirmed he absolutely had to have surgery, and now he didn't. So I told the vet about it. I didn't want him to think I was neglecting my dog. He said, I believe you. So many of you have the ability to see what God's doing. Like Jesus said, I just do what I see the Father doing. But you haven't known it. You thought it was just your wild imagination. But your imagination can be God's TV screen. It's like this wide screen. You know, you can have pictures in your mind that are moving pictures or open visions. And sometimes it's from the devil because he's projecting fear onto your screen and saying, what if this? What if that? And you know that's from the devil. But what I find is people are a lot more likely to acknowledge an open vision that they've got from the devil than they are from one that's from God. And you can actually see your own prayers fulfilled or God's destiny for you fulfilled or your calling played out on the screen that God has equipped you with, called your spiritual or sanctified imagination, and think that it's just a fantasy on your part. You know, God could never use me to do greater works like that or anything like that. I'm not anything special, and you're so busy denying it. But it could be an invitation from God. Now, if God invited you to repent of sin, you'd believe that, wouldn't you? When he invited you to be saved and your knuckles turned white holding onto the back of the pew, you knew that was God or the Holy Spirit. Even when you were invited to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you may have known that that was God if you weren't busy denying it like I was. Maybe you could feel that God wanted to speak in tongues through you. And when you did, you were still afraid that you were faking it or it wasn't real. But one thing that I bet all of you have experienced and continually experience practically daily, like I do, is that wooing from the Holy Spirit, where he's wanting to spend alone time with you. He's wanting you to spend time with him and maybe, you know, read the word and listen for his spoken rhema word, or worship him and sing back to him, for instance. Maybe he's prompted you and you knew it was God. He wanted you to call someone, encourage them, or to help someone that needed help. Or maybe he showed you something about your current life, but then it transitioned into the heavenly realm. You know, you started out with memories that are real memories, or maybe you started out with concerns about your current life, and then God took you into the heavenlies with him. And maybe he's cautioned you about something that you didn't want to hear, for instance. Maybe told you to leave a relationship or to leave a job or not to make something, make a choice that would make you money, and you didn't want to hear it. But you may have vision where you see yourself in it, and it is from God. You may see God leading you to make godly choices, or which house to buy, or taking you through an open door. Like, I've had a dream over and over in my lifetime that I was transported supernaturally to another location to minister something. I gave a prophetic word or something, was transported right back home. This is actually from God. I'm convinced that it is. Many of you may have had short, open visions of doing greater work somewhere, and you thought that it was your ego, but it was really God. You may have discounted it, thinking that, you know, it's just wish fulfillment on your part. Just because that is taught in a secular realm doesn't mean that real visions from God don't exist. How about that? For instance, it can be something that is all natural and you don't see the spiritual significance of it at first. I dreamed that I saw a foyer. I saw it in detail, exactly what the foyer and the stairs were like. I dreamed that there were romantic gestures from a man that I knew. And I thought, well, that can't be, because he won't even talk to me, really. And it turned out to be true. Later on, I saw the bed and breakfast where Lou lived. I realized, oh, my, that was Lou, and that is the foyer, and there is a future in our relationship. So I just hid that in my heart. I didn't dare ask him. Another time I dreamed that I saw a woman who had been abducted, and she was hidden away in this dark place. There were giant spiders around her. And I thought, boy, I've been watching too much TV, and I didn't share it with the leadership. Later on, I found out that a woman was abducted, that these guerrilla-type terrorist people were intent on raping her or killing her. And because other people had dreamed the same thing and shared it, they knew to pray against that, and she was rescued. Hallelujah. So I learned to share my dreams and share things with your leadership, share things with your spiritual advisors, and let them help you decide, am I really experiencing God and don't know it? I also have seen myself looking for a house in Florida, and I thought, that's not going to happen. We came from Florida. God already moved us up north. We've been here for years. And within a couple of years, that came true, and we've moved to Florida. So you just never know. I have seen pictures, or kind of like a short video in my spirit mind, of ministering to thousands, and our ministry taking a new direction to more of a healing ministry. And I've had that confirmed in prophecy 4 or 5 times in the last few months. So a lot of times what you think might be ego is really God showing you something in advance and preparing you to believe him. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just don't want to believe it's God. Some people have told me, well, I don't really want to hear God's voice about this because I don't know if I'm going to like what he's going to say. Okay, I hear that. One time I saw soldier angels dressed in their camo and armed, standing shoulder to shoulder all the way around my house. Now, that's the kind of thing that I didn't doubt that I saw it. I didn't doubt that I might need it, but I didn't want to believe that I would need that many angels shoulder to shoulder to protect us all the way around our house. In a way, it's comforting, but it's kind of like, ooh, this sounds like something's going to happen that I don't want to know. I've been warned that there is a sister in ministry who had a Jezebel spirit who had some intentions to do things that would actually tear me down rather than build me up. Didn't want to know that. But it was for my best, and God thought I should know, and it came true. I've also sensed in the spirit that a minister was in adultery, and with whom, checked it out, found out that was true. That was heartbreaking. Also found out that a previous ministry that I had really enjoyed being associated in the past is now involved in some deceptions, and God was warning me not to reconnect with them. You know, appreciate what you've got in the past, but don't actually reconnect. Some of you may have had warnings like that from God, too. You know, take the meat, spit out the bones, but don't, you know, don't make an official connection. So what we need to do, really, is just learn to focus on God. Learn to wait. A lot of us, we're just in too much of a hurry. Our priorities are out of order. We wonder why other people hear God better. It's because they listen longer. Or they're willing to consider the spontaneous thoughts that come to their mind. They're willing to write them down. Or, like Randy Demain was sharing a couple of weeks ago, maybe they have more of a passion to know God and to know His voice. And that really stirs up angels to minister to us and to assist us. So Jesus said, you know, one of His passions was to see what the Father's doing. So we know that He was receiving pictures and open visions from God. We know that He took time at night or whenever to really go aside and get away from the crowd, get away from ministry even, and to hear God's voice. Hear what Father's saying, just say what Father's saying. And we know that in crisis times, He was like in the Garden of Gethsemane and took people with Him. So many things that have happened to you that have come through your mind to your remembrance tonight, you can ask God, are you saying that really was a spiritual encounter, that was really you, that I was getting a message from you in symbols or hearing your voice, didn't know it was you or it was Jesus Christ or it was an angel? Are you saying that? And so you can get confirmation. You just can't define a spiritual encounter with your definitions for the natural. It's different. Sometimes when you see things in the spirit, it's kind of transparent. Sometimes it's more just light or orbs. Sometimes it's like one layer over another layer. Sometimes it's in your spiritual mind rather than seeing it as a transparent layer over a natural layer. But you've got to learn how to define things God's way, and then you can ask Him, okay, that looked like a spiritual layer over a natural layer. Was that you? I heard this in with my spiritual ears, not audibly. Is that you? And to ask God for the interpretations, the application, you know, why are you showing me this? And 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, you know, what's in the seen world is temporary, but what's in the unseen world is eternal. And so really, God teaches how to value what's in the invisible more than the visible. How to value your rhema word more than we value what's in the newspaper, for instance. How to know that hearing your voice is way more than hearing man's voice. Okay, so what we need to do is just to surrender our spiritual senses to God. To first of all, recognize that you may have shut them down. Maybe you used your eyes or ears to see and listen to the wrong things and you became afraid of your eyes or ears. That sounds weird, but those of you that have had addictions to hearing the wrong things or seeing the wrong things, you know what I'm talking about. And so we need to surrender our senses to the Holy Spirit, natural and spiritual. So we say, God, we want to hear with your ears, see with your eyes, smell with your nose, you know, feel your touch. We want to discern the way you discern, taste what you taste. And if you will obey what you hear, that's another thing. In John, it says, you know, if you'll obey the truth, you'll know what it is. And so for that objection I mentioned earlier, well, I don't know if I want to hear from God because I don't know if I like what he's going to say, then we say, God, we choose to obey what we hear. We choose to know that you have more wisdom than we do, that you have our best interest at heart, that you can really be trusted. We can be confident in your love, your perfect love, and let it cast down our fears. God, we want to have communion with you. You created us to have communion with you 24/7, like Adam and Eve walking and talking with you in the garden. You said, God, that my sheep hear my voice. That's you. And we are your sheep, and we choose to hear your voice and to believe that we have the spiritual senses to discern it, to see with your eyes, to earnestly desire the best gifts, which includes hearing your voice, the revelation gifts, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophetic words, and spiritual discernment. And we choose to lay aside a critical nature, judgmental nature, and to receive true discernment, God, because our passion really isn't even the gifts. It's not even to fulfill our ministry and calling and all. It's to know you. So our prayer is tonight, God, that we ask you for your anointing to know you, to know your voice, to know your presence, that we won't miss it. When you are answering our prayers, when you're giving us the information we've asked for, when you're showing us godly choices or your will, and we'll know that it's you, that we'll be careful to write these things down, meditate and treasure them in our heart, and to believe what you're saying and to believe what you're doing. Amen? One more way that I'd like to share an example of with you is that God could speak to you through your own voice and singing, or through someone else singing. It's called the Psalmist Anointing. And tonight I'd like to just take for a little break here, a little 7-minute break. Don't go away, though. Don't miss this, because there's a huge anointing on it. When Reverend Pat Torek was in our How to Hear God's Voice class, and suddenly this Psalmist Anointing came on her, which often does with her. She had her 12-string guitar with her, and she just started singing God's heart to us. God was singing through her. And then while she was singing, God was giving me an application of it. And then I shared that. It was very, very touching. You will not be able to deny that you can feel God's presence in this, so I just thought I would give an example. It's not one of those that you had to be there to appreciate it. I think you'll enjoy this. So just kick back for a minute and let the presence of God communicate to you and with your spirit. Let God share his heart with you, okay? Okay.
It feels so satisfied. I weep, says the Lord. I weep so much. I wept in the garden, and I weep from my throne. I see your pain, and I feel your pain. And I'm coming again, and soon it will all end. And there'll be no pain, there'll be no sorrow, there'll be no sickness. There'll be no fear. I hear your prayers, says the Lord. I heard them all. I've seen your tears, and I've collected them all. And I have them. Not a single one has reached the ground. For they are precious to me. Oh, too precious to hit the ground. Joy, I'm your healing. I'm all you'll ever need. You are never alone. And sometimes, my people, you feel oh so alone. And you even say with your mouth, I'm alone. But listen. Listen and you will understand this. On the night that you marry, don't you want to be alone? Don't you want to be alone with your love? So when we're alone, embrace that and cherish that. You're never alone. What I feel is such, not my sadness, it's the sadness the Lord has for humanity and inhumanity, and that people, he died for them, he loves them, and yet they turn and they say, why did God do this to me? How could he let this happen? They blame me when it is the enemy. And he weeps at the wars. And he weeps at the things that are done to people. I just feel such a sadness. Not like depression, it's not that kind of sadness. It's an intense compassion kind of sadness that the Lord feels. That's the word he says. He said it's compassion. It's compassion.
As soon as you began, the Lord took me back to a sadness that's not a current sadness. But when I was first coming out of the wilderness 20 years ago in the fear that I went to this prophetic church, he says, remember, don't forget. Remember how you were when you ventured back in the church door and you didn't know for sure what I was like or what your reception would be. And if you got a word from me, you know, it would be accepting or loving or not. But don't forget, because I have millions of children out there that are wondering what it will be like. If I go into the presence of God, will I be accepted? And will I be loved? And what does God think about this wilderness I've been in, all my failures and the same ones over and over and all my sins? And will he step on my heart? What will he do if I go back in and don't forget my people? Don't forget how fragile people are and how hungry they are and how they want to know, but they're just afraid to know. And that's why you take the first step and say, I'd just like to go out and love and pray for people. Can I pray for you? Because they're wondering. They don't act like it, but they're wondering, is there any hope for me if I go back towards God? They don't know about the verses where I ran to the prodigal. I looked for him every day. And I just ran to him when I finally saw him. I had the fatted calf ready. I had the ring ready to put on his finger. I had the sandals ready to put on his feet. I didn't even ask him to bathe first. I ran to him. But the only way I can do that now is through you. Go to them. Go to them. That's my sadness. Will you just get past what they might think of you and go to them, because they're thinking of me.
Hallelujah. I hope you could hear that It was an awesome moment, and I put the recording of it on our Facebook, too, because it was just absolutely amazing when God speaks to you through you. And our whole group was just crying out for God's compassion for others. You know, sometimes we want to minister to others, we want to hear God's voice, we want to see these visions, but we still don't quite have the compassion, not His compassion. We were just crying out for it. I want to encourage you tonight to receive God's desire to spend time with you. There isn't anything more important than that, and I know I get busy sometimes too, but there's always that presence, and you can feel it too, where He's drawing you to Him, saying, put me first. Make me Lord. There isn't anything more important than you can do. There's nothing else that you actually have to do today but spend time with me. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the most valuable relationship there is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you loved us first, that you desire us, that you're a talking God. You're always wanting to talk to us. We just thank you, Father. It's you pursuing us, really. Sometimes we say we're waiting on you, Father, but really, usually it's you waiting on us. Hallelujah. Well, I want to encourage you tonight to call a friend and tell them, call in, hear God's voice, or they can just listen as I prophesy to other people. How do I know it'll work? Well, I haven't found anybody that God won't talk to, just haven't found them. I believe that non-Christians hear God's voice too. It's just, Him wooing them to Him or convicting them of sin or telling them that you can't do this on your own. You hear God's voice too. You heard God before you were saved. Come on. Call your friends and invite them to call 917-388-4683. 917-388-4683. Hallelujah. Now, I want to invite some of you that have received prophetic ministry before. If you have a short testimony to share about how hearing God's voice helped you, or the picture that you were given, or a picture that you saw, now I don't want you to take over and have another teaching time because people are all primed and ready now to hear prophetic ministry. But if you can tell it in like a minute or 2 minutes max, I'd encourage you to share a testimony tonight. Usually, if we just talk about what God did, we can tell it pretty quick. If we want to talk about ourselves, it may take a long time. But if you've got a testimony to share, I would encourage you to call in, push number one. And if you would like to receive personal prophetic ministry and you have never received it on this program before, you can call in 917-388-4683 and push number one. Those of you that are frequent flyers here, I'd encourage you not to push number one for about 30 minutes and give the first timers a chance. Hallelujah. When I'm visiting in churches, I like to do that too. I like to prophesy to the visitors. I encourage pastors to do that. Let your prophetic people prophesy to visitors. And get this, have the prophetic time where you minister to people in the congregation. Have it before church starts. Start being not only on time, they'll start being early. If they know 2 or 3 people, 4 or 5 people are going to receive prophetic ministry before their services start, they'll start showing up on time. We tried it. It worked. Hallelujah. Well, what I'm going to do is call out your area code and let you know that you're on the air. And if you'll tell us your first name and where you're from, then I'll be asking if you have a specific request, but I really encourage you not to tell me much. It's easier to hear God for you if I don't have to sort it out from the natural information. So here we go. Here we go. Let's all hear God's voice, and I want to encourage you that are listening, use this as a practice time. You can use this as a school of the Spirit, of prophetic ministry, like Elijah and Elisha had. You can ask God to speak to you about the call or two. And in the safety of your home, you can see if what God gives you would be a complement to what He gives me. We all get in part. It probably won't be exactly the same, but it might be a complement. And God can use that to increase your confidence that you do hear His voice. Hallelujah. So here we go. Area code 617. I'm sorry, 615. Welcome to the program. Well, wouldn't you know it's hung up. There you go. Area code 615. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. What's your name, please?
Brian.
Brian, have you received ministry here before?
Yes, I have.
You're cheating, Brian.
I'm sorry.
Just I'm going to write your name down, and I'll get back to you in a few minutes. How about that?
Okay, sure.
All right. Aha. Uh-huh. Okay, let's try another. Area code 310, welcome to the program.
Yes, I was calling with testimony. I had been praying and on the internet, and I found Crosstalk, and I had called in really hoping for prophetic ministry, and I did receive that, and I wrote it down, as you suggest, and I thought, well, you know, I kind of see, yes, some of that I wasn't so sure, and that led me more to prayer and asking questions of God, and I went on the looking at the website for more and decided that Restoration Prayer Ministry, I needed to understand prophecy and also answering questions, and it has been a wonderful restorative process.
Hallelujah.
And I also have seen how some things that have come to mind at times, I didn't think about it. I realized that God wanted to bring them to my mind and to encourage me, and issues from the past that I prayed about, tried, all came together, and I felt that really before I could get more on prophecy, it was just resting with God now, and He did everything else through this, and I am amazed how much peace I have, how much better I feel, even though I think anybody around me would have thought everything was fine. And one thing that's been interesting is suddenly when I see people, although nothing has changed in my weight, in my appearance, makeup, anything that I do, people just stop and say, "You're looking so well. You just look great." And that's been, you know, one of the things that I've been putting in and declaring is that I would have, you know, the light of God. So and that was not the case before. So I hope this speaks to someone, and I certainly encourage them to listen, to get prophecy, and to go through all the restorative prayer ministry for strongholds, so you can be have the most freedom and the most strength moving forward.
Amen. I thank you for sharing that, because I really want people to know that God really wants to restore them, and it'll make a tangible difference, and it'll be a measurable difference, and you'll be glad, and you'll know, I do have a Redeemer, and He is redeeming every experience I've had. And I just hear the Lord saying to you that I have allowed you to have so many experiences, some seem good, some seem bad. I've allowed you to experience the spiritual realm from many, many, many different ways. And the Lord says that, believe it or not, I have been carefully tutoring you myself, that I've allowed you to experience these things firsthand. Many demons, you have seen them, witnessed them, or experienced them, and you know them by the whites of their eyes, so to speak. And with that, though, I'm giving you a keen sense of discernment. You'll be able to discern spirits. That's the gift of discerning of spirits. It's actually discerning spirits. You'll know the source, and that even if people do things that look right, say things that sound perfect, you'll know if the source is wrong. And the Lord says that I've allowed many dollars to go through your hands, and I'm going to allow many dollars to come to your hands, but you won't always be the one that's mostly facilitating other people and empowering them and making a way for them. The Lord says this has been your training school, and I've allowed you to meet a lot of people, to rub shoulders with a lot of people, and I'm going to enable you, as you believe me for this, I'm going to enable you to also rub shoulders with a lot of spiritual leaders who will inspire you, who you will learn, and you'll hear my voice saying, this is me, this is the way my Holy Spirit operates. This is what I would like to do through you. And sometimes this is not what I want to do through you. But the Lord says it won't always be you helping other people reach their vision, and yet in a way it is, because as I move through you more and more to minister to people firsthand and to be that person that they're looking to for spiritual guidance or freedom or healing, or, you know, deliverance, whatever, as you do that, you'll find that, well, actually, I am helping them to reach their destiny, to understand their vision, to get the healing from hurt. And you're just going to see it happen, that as people share their memories with you, you're going to see that you won't be able to discern it. You'll be able to know how to pray for them. You're going to be able to hear them and my spirit at the same time. And because of the variety of experiences that you've had, instead of that being something that the enemy would be able to say, this disqualifies you, you're going to know, no, I know God's voice. I know the devil's voice. I know my voice. And I know this is God's strategy, or this is Satan's strategy. And you're going to have a confidence that even if you're the only one that discerns it, you'll still be able to go forward in my spiritual discernment, because you're going to have so much confidence that you can hear what the Father is saying, see what the Father is doing, that you will be able to go forward even when you have to stand alone. And so it won't be an arrogance on your part. It won't be a know-it-all. It will be a confidence in me. And the Lord says, as you just press in to hear me in your quiet time at home, to journal that, and practice doing that, then as I allow you to move in this discernment and hearing my voice more in the public realm, you'll always already be confident in me. And that's the kind of relationship we'll have. And you'll know that I have chosen you to partner with me in these ways. And it's going to be a precious, precious thing to you. Can you receive
well, thank
that?
You. Yes, I certainly do. Thank you very much for sharing that.
Well, you're welcome.
A nice gift. I was just calling to give testimony, but God does give exceedingly abundantly more, even when we don't realize it.
Amen.
This time I realize it, and thank you. And
well, often during
the
restoration prayer ministry, I do prophesy to the person, but it completely slipped my mind. And now I know why. We're doing it tonight.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. You're precious to me, too. Have a great night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I just want everybody to know that God is still in the redeeming, restoring business, and that he never means to leave us like we are, that there's always more in Jesus, and he's not hiding from us. He's not withholding information. That, like I say, sometimes the first few times you sit in God's presence, it may seem like it takes a really long time for something to happen. I would encourage you, you can be in God's Word, you can worship, you can do those things, but eventually just get quiet. And even if it takes a long time at first, it won't always, and it's worth it. Just press in and press in and press in, and pretty soon it'll become a daily experience. Maybe even an hourly, you'll be able to hear God readily. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just impart that to all of you. Okay, area code 815, welcome to the program. Area code 815. Uh-oh. Somebody went on break, isn't back. You know what that means? That means I need more callers. If you would like to call and receive prophetic prayer or ministry, you can call 917-388-4683. want to call, encourage you to call your friends too. Call your friends. Encourage them. Okay, then that means we're going to go back to Brian, who's still holding on fast here. So, Brian, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Did you have a special request tonight, or?
Oh, no, I don't have a special request.
Okay. Oh, Father, I just thank you for Brian. Thank you for Brian. Brian, I just see where God's been orchestrating some things to build spiritual muscles and you to build faith muscles. And there have been times when you thought it was the devil and tried to cast it away or say, I bind you in the name of Jesus. But God says, I've allowed some things to happen so that you would step out in faith in new ways, that you trust me in new ways, that you build that confidence in me, that I always turn things out for good for those that love me and are called according to my purposes. And the Lord says that any pain that you've experienced while you're in my boot camp and my training school, I will make it up to you, and you will say, no pain, no gain, you know, that it was worth it. The Lord says, all the tears of my saints are precious to me, just as you heard tonight. And the Lord says, I've been carefully orchestrating just lots of things in your life so that you would learn from experience. You would know that you know how to relate to me, and I know that you're still growing in that area. But the Lord says, I'm carefully orchestrating it, and you can trust me. And that the enemy has spoken quite a few lies, and I'm going to be revealing those. And the Lord says that you'll be able to use this knowledge of what is truth and what is lies and how to discern if the source is God training me or if the source is the devil's strategy against me. You're going to be able to use all those as you make disciples with other people, because they're going to be asking you these questions, and you'll be able to give life testimony, you know, of your experience with me. And the Lord says, just as I'm discipling you, I'm calling you to make disciples and to pour my heart into their hearts, to be my arms, to love them, to be my voice, to speak to them. And if you will, listen to me with an ear toward, you know, hearing for others also. I'll teach you to hear my voice for others in new ways. And I'll even give you the answers to their questions ahead of time. And sometimes I'll give you a verse reference or a nugget of truth. And you'll think, well, you know, I kind of knew that. Why are you telling me that, God? And then within a day or two, you'll see why. But the Lord says, if you will, I'm just calling you tonight to be more involved in making disciples and to be my disciple, which means, you know, disciplined and to press in to seek me and to let me mentor you in those things, and that you will know that you know that you know that I have an eternal love for you. I've given you a new past, a new present, and a new future, and I just want to speak through you to impart that to this generation who are so hungry. Sometimes they don't show up, but they're so hungry for me. They're just looking for what's real. They're looking for genuine. They don't want to play church. They don't want pat answers. And as you speak from your real life experience, then they're going to know that you're not just parroting something you heard, but that you have... Well, like the Lord says in Malachi, you've tested me, says the Lord, and I'm faithful and true. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
Can you relate to any of that?
Yes, I can relate to a lot of it. A lot of it. Just not everything.
You got any testimony to share with us tonight?
I can testify to kind of confirm to the things you were speaking tonight about hearing from God, because I've been blessed with the operating the gift of prophecy, and everything that I was taught when I was being taught how to operate in the gift was everything that you spoke on tonight. So just to encourage anybody that's seeking that gift from the Lord, that to take heed of what was said tonight and to know that it's the truth and it was spoken from God, and to step in faith. And the more you step out in faith, the more God will reveal himself to you and speak mm-hmm. through you, and you'll see things come to pass. It's amazing when you actually yield to the word of God and listen to what he says, and just to step out in faith, because that's what pleases him.
Amen. And now he's calling you, like 2 Timothy 2:2, to teach others who will teach others also.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hope you'll keep in touch and call back with a testimony on that.
All right. Thank you. I will.
All right. Be blessed. Have a great night.
You too.
We just thank you, God, that you want to talk to us. That just amazes me all the time, that you created us to have fellowship with you, and it's not just some sterile thing that we're imagining as we read what you used to do, but you really want live fellowship with us and communion with us, and it's just absolutely amazing to me that if we'll just wait in your presence and give you that honor, because you are the King of Kings, that the more that we wait on you, the quicker that you show up with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me try one more time with area code 815. Welcome to the program. 815, are you there? Well, I am so sorry. Okay, let's try again with area code. Not again, but let's try area code 727. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is LaPeja. How are you?
I am fine. What's happening?
Actually, I just logged in, well, just called in, so I'm not sure if you're doing first-time callers or if you're just open now for everyone.
It's open to anyone now.
Okay, because I'm not a first-time caller. I just wanted to make sure. I didn't really get a chance to hear anything that you guys were talking about, but I did read a little bit about what you were going to talk about on Facebook about discerning God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
I pretty much feel his presence anywhere that I go. I know that it's on me, it's in me, it's around me, and he's pretty much in every situation, and he's there everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point in my life, I really feel like he's taking me to a place where he's making me stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things that used to bother me before, I've kind of just, let it go and just kind of received his peace, because I've noticed that by being upset or being angry, that just means that emotionally that I'm weak. So when I choose to follow his peace, that means that I'm strong, that he's making me strong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like he answered my prayer. So I just pretty much kind of want to know a little bit more about what exactly what he's saying to me, and exactly where he wants to, like, take me as far as, like, my career and as far as ministry is concerned.
Mm-hmm. The Lord says it's really blessed me when you have trusted me with some big decisions, because there have been some things that, in the flesh, you know, you'd want to do it your way, but you have trusted me, and you've trusted me to make godly choices, make choices that are really the best for you in the long run, even when some of the natural circumstances look the other way, even choices with relationships, choices with vocation, choices with friends and worship. And the Lord says, I've been building this relationship of trust with you, because the Lord says, I want to live through you in some amazing, amazing ways in these end times. And there will be times when in the natural it looks crazy to obey me. And as you step out and do that, people are just going to be so blessed, and their faith is going to leap up. And the Lord says, as you trust me that I really do love you with a perfect love, and as you allow this to cast out the fear, the Lord says, I want to live through you in amazing ways in these end times. And I've called you to be one of my many, not one of the two mentioned in the Bible, but one of my many, many end times witnesses. And as you trust me, sometimes you'll be going against the flow. Sometimes none of your peers will agree with it. They'll all be for one thing, and then you're standing with me in another way. But the Lord says they will see in the long run. They will see. And they will. Many will come back to me because of it. Just many will come back to me because of it. And as I exercise you in these areas of trust, you're going to know, oh, this is another pop quiz in the area of trust. It's okay. I can relax. I can take a deep breath. You know, just breathe out the fear and the worry and the doubt and breathe in trust. Breathe in resting in the Lord. Breathe in trust in His Spirit. And you'll know, too, that you are hearing my voice and that even though the natural says something completely different, that you can rest, that you can hear my voice, that I do show you what I'm doing, and that eventually it will all make sense. There'll be things that are going to be hard choices for you even this year, but before the year is over, it will make sense. And you will be glad, so glad, so glad that you trusted my voice and trusted my best for you. And that way you'll have wisdom beyond your years. You'll have my wisdom. You won't be limited to your natural knowledge and what the media or the natural situations and circumstances say. But you will have spiritual words of knowledge and words of wisdom from me. And people are going to marvel and they're going to say, how does she know these things? And you'll be able to share them. If you're willing to obey God, He will share things with you. If you're willing to obey the truth, He will show you the truth. And you'll be able to discern it too. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Did any of that, did you relate to any of that?
That, you know, it makes perfectly sense when you said about me trusting Him. That pretty much summed it all up into everything that I've been going through is the trust. And I just couldn't really find the word, you know, to understand what He's doing, but it definitely is trust. And thank you. Thank you so much for that.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. And while you might be able to say that of most anybody, both of you that have been through God's trust training school can relate to this, because there are times when He just orchestrates things when all you've got is trust. You know, it doesn't make any sense in the natural. Everybody else is saying do something different. Everybody else is doing something different. And they all choose one thing and you choose another. But maybe just sense it in your spirit. This is not of God. It's not going to turn out well. And then eventually they find out that it would have been better to trust God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, thank you for calling. I hope you have a great night and week and month and year.
Thank you. I'm going to have to rewind the when I go online, I have to rewind it and listen to it from the beginning.
That'd be great. This is a good one to download, because even when I review this teaching for myself and heard my ex-pastor preach it in pretty much the way I had preached it before, still I was reminded afresh of areas where God had been speaking to me, and it just, I had not recognized it as such. You know, so it's just a great thing to look back at your experiences, your dreams, your visions, your journaling, and say, God, what were you saying? And sometimes you get more out of it than you did at the time.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Okay, be blessed.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's just absolutely amazing, the timelessness of prophetic words, too. I guess you know that in the Bible, sometimes prophetic words have, even in one sentence, something for this century and something for 1,000 years later. I suspect that Matthew 24, for instance, is that way. Some of the things in there were fulfilled when the temple was torn down before, when was it, 70 A.D.? And some of the things, obviously, like the second coming of Christ, have not happened yet, and it's all in the same chapter. Some of the things in there probably were fulfilled at that time, are being fulfilled now, and will be fulfilled again in another way. And prophetic words are just like that. God's timing is not our timing. But it's everything He shares with us he shares it in a way that it will be beneficial to us at that time, like he's building the trust for what's coming. Amen. We just choose to trust you, God. We choose to know that you're training us and teaching us how to hear your voice, how to discern the pictures and visions and dreams that you give us, and that you're pouring out your spirit on all flesh, that's men, women, young and old, and that pretty well covers it. We receive it. We're all flesh, and we receive it. God, amen? Amen. Okay, another caller, area code 818, welcome to the program. Area code 818.
Oh, yes. Hi,
yes,
how are
name,
you?
Please.
How are you doing?
I'm very good. What's your name?
Adrine. I am calling for the first time. I would like prayer for me and for my son and my husband, please.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see what Father has to say. The Lord says that I'm intent on bringing healing to the whole family. And there have been times when you have not perceived it the same way, and you've not perceived me in the same way. But the Lord says, trust me, for I'm bringing healing to the whole family. I'm doing a deep work in your heart. And sometimes you have thought, well, God does this through me. Why doesn't he do that through you? Or he's doing this for me. Why not for you? But the Lord says it's very custom, very individual, that I'm doing a deep work in each of your hearts. And the Lord says you can trust me that I am Jehovah Rapha, your healer, and that I am Jehovah Shammah, that I am near you. And I'm your Holy Spirit, your tutor. And the Lord says, don't look to the right or left what I'm doing with someone else, that I'm carefully doing custom work in each of your hearts. And while it may seem that one of you can hear me better than the others, just don't worry about it. I'm doing a deep work in your hearts. And the Lord says, don't compare. Don't compare, but just trust me, and I'll bring you all together in the end. I'm drawing you. I'm wooing you. And my desire is to bring you together in unity in my purpose and in my calling, and that you will have a greater intimacy with me and with each other, a great harmony with me and with each other. And the Lord says that even though you understand me a little differently, and in some ways you spend time with me differently and worship me differently, that the variety that I've put in you is a good thing, is a good thing. And the Lord says, as you humble yourself and pray and seek me, that each part, each of you will have part of the puzzle to bring, and each of you will be able to contribute. And you'll see how I've gifted you and given you purposes that will be a complement. And in the long run, you'll see how each of you will be my love and power to others in ways that complement the other. So just rest in it at this time, and know that in the long run that I will pull you together as you allow me. I'll pull you together in ways that you'll be exponentially more powerful as you all agree with me, as you speak forth my word, as you allow me to move through you, that you each have different gifting, but it'll also be complementary. Amen?
Amen. Thank you so much. Sorry, hold the line, please. Someone wants to talk to you.
Who is that?
Somebody wants to talk to you, please.
And who is it?
Hi. I'm
Alina. Hi, who are you?
I'm Alina from California. I called you before. I wanted also prayer. I don't know. It's like whatever like the Lord has for me.
And what is your name?
Alina.
Alina. Oh, Father, I just thank you for Alina. I just see, Alina, where God said, I'm calling you to a greater level of worship and even creativity in worship. And you'll see that as you sing more to me at home, that you'll have opportunities to sing, and I'll give you more of a voice and more of a voice, and you'll be able to speak for me and to sing to me and in worship of me. I'm giving you creativity. I just see you worshiping in the dance and with flags and all different ways of expression and teaching others how to worship God with our whole heart, not only in their spirit and soul, but also with their body. And the Lord says, as you worship me, you'll see miracles happen. It may not happen the first day or month, but as you keep worshiping me as a way of life and also including others and teaching them, that you'll see people healed. You'll see miracles happen without you even praying for them. But you'll know that you're a worshiping warrior. And as you worship me, then the enemy's plans are destroyed and that God's plans are implemented or executed or come to pass. And the Lord says the key for you right now in this season of time is to know that as you worship me, you'll see my hand move. As you worship me, you'll see my power released. And as you worship me, I'll fill you with my love to overflowing. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you. Thank you, too.
Well, I'll believe with you, God's doing a great work out there.
Oh, amen. Yeah.
Amen. Have a great night.
Thank you. You, too.
You're welcome. I believe that's a key for a lot of us. I know there's times when he's telling me, well, just come aside and worship me. You know, it's not that you have to fight and press and scratch and war. Just come aside and worship me. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. You alone are worthy. You're worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Area code 903, welcome to the program.
Hey, Carlotta, it's Terry. How are you tonight?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Your lesson tonight, or your teaching tonight, spoke straight into my life right now.
Really?
I'm having some, yeah, oh, absolutely. Excuse me. I'm having, not difficulty, but I guess a trust, like the other caller, just a trust issue that what I'm hearing is correct from the Lord. I'm getting several words of knowledge, you know, back to back to back, and things happen like a domino effect. And it's awesome to see, but it's like, is this really you? You know? And like I say that all the time. Is this you, God? You know, just to make sure. But, you know, that's one thing I'm calling about tonight is I had to make a very huge decision in my life. And I just want to know if that decision was placed in my heart by God and not in my own power.
I don't know what this means, but the phrase that I heard, and I don't know what the decision is, that's for sure. I often don't know the application of what I'm saying, and so I'll just say the phrase that I heard, and I won't say how to apply it because I'm not hearing that part, okay? You're still
okay.
Going to have to seek the Lord for how to apply it, and don't just assume anything. I wouldn't do that. But I hear the Lord saying, I'm going to cut you loose.
Okay.
But I don't know from what or from who, but the Lord says, I'm going to free you up in some ways, and I don't want you to be disappointed. I want you to know for this time and season, I'm freeing you up. And you can leave those things in my hands, because even when you like forgive someone, you know, and I remove the chain and the ball and chain from your ankle, and you forgive them the debt that they would have to ever make it up to you, the Lord says, I still deal with them. Or when you forgive a debt, a literal debt that someone owes you, for instance, the Lord says, I still deal with them about the debt they owe you. And so the Lord says, I'm just like kind of like taking your fingers and loosening them up a little bit, loosening you up, letting you turn it over to me more completely. And as you do, you will be freed up to do what I've got for you in this time and season. But it doesn't mean that all the scores are in and that it's over. I'm still working hard. And I am still, I don't force people to do my will, but I'm still working. And I will still be your provider, and I will still guide you in other ways. We just won't be focusing on this thing as much right now, you and I together. I will take care of it, okay?
Awesome. Great.
That makes sense?
Yeah, I've had a lot of, and not a lot, but I mean, I have had some disappointment with this decision that I had to make. And, you know, I feel like it's a death, and it's very, you know, disheartening. But then again, it's very hopeful. Another part of it's very hopeful. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't making a decision straight in my own power, you know, that I was praying about this for months and months. And finally, I just woke up one morning, got ready for work, and it's like God just laid everything out on the table and said, this is what I'm talking about, you know. And it was it was wonderful to know that, but I just wanted to make sure that it came from him and not from my own mind, you know.
Right. Now, I'm not saying this example is parallel to anything because I, you know, what little that I've ministered to you before, I don't even remember what it was. But
right.
I know I have had mornings when I woke up at some point in my lifetime where I knew, for instance, God says, I'm taking you off the case. You've interceded for 7 months or 9 months or whatever. Now let go. You know, I'm passing it on to someone else, or I'm dealing with it myself, or I'm just taking you off the case. No more focusing on this. And I was released from it. Hadn't expected that, but it was clear as a bell. And so there are seasons in your life when God will change the order, and he'll say, now focus on this instead.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. So, yeah. Thank you so much.
I don't know what this is or what that is, but he'll reveal the details.
Right.
Okay.
Right, absolutely. As time goes on and as we need to know, it's on a need-to-know basis, so.
Okay.
Okay, well, you take care.
I wish it was always facts on demand, but it's not. So.
I know, right. I know. We're on a need-to-know basis, so.
Yeah, his timing.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I want to encourage all of our listeners to understand that I, too, am stepping out on that invisible bridge now, that's what faith is when you don't have all the facts and the who, what, when, where, and timing and everything all at one time. But I, too, am stepping out on an invisible bridge. I got a very incredible confirmation from God, but I only got it once. And you know how the word says things will be confirmed by two or three witnesses. So I'm like still waiting for that. And I even told my husband this weekend, I said, I would really like confirmation, another confirmation on this. And I haven't seen it yet, but sometimes God just will tell us things way ahead of time. And maybe we don't get the confirmations till later. Or maybe we get more specifics that help us to interpret it more rightly. Or something, but God does give us what we need at the time, like Corrie Ten Boom's father said, no, you can't have a train ticket yet. I'll give you the train ticket just before you step on the train. Don't you just love that part? Okay, thank you, God, even for your timing. Area code 786, welcome to the program.
Yes, hi, good night, Carlotta. It's Mario from Miami.
Good evening, Mario. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good.
All right.
Super incredibly grateful that I heard you teach today. I have sometimes fallen asleep waiting to hear from the Lord, but you encouraged me to press on, and that the more I do it, the less, you know, time I'll have to wait. So it was very encouraging. Thank you so much for your servant heart.
Well, I just love hearing God's voice. I want everybody to be able to hear it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Any specific requests tonight?
I just want to know what's on his heart in regards to my life and on the things that are going on right now that only he knows us. And
The Lord says I have some pretty amazing connections for you. That I've mentioned it before and I'm saying it again, that you don't have to make it happen, but I'm going to be connecting you with people, and you know, they may not come right up to you and offer to mentor you or anything, but the Lord says you're going to feel my spirit touching you on the shoulder and saying, don't be shy. You know, ask them if they will speak into your life or mentor you or help disciple you or train you or whatever I'm telling you. And the Lord says that you've been a real blessing to me as you've allowed my compassion to flow you through you to others. And there's definitely a soul winner's crown for those that are concerned. And the Lord says it grieves my heart when people just want to get themselves and their own family to heaven and they just seem to forget about everyone else. In fact, they want the world to come to an end tonight, you know, and they're not concerned about their neighbors or the loss that they know or the prodigals that they know. And the Lord says it's just been such a blessing to me, the compassion that flows through you. And I want to increase that. And I just see like a beautiful, beautiful cup that just keeps overflowing that you can't pour enough out of it to cause it to run dry. And the Lord says that's my desire, that you will be that living picture of my spring of living water that springs up within you. And people can drink of it and never run dry. And they'll know that this was Jesus. We're in the presence of God now. And the Lord says, as you press into my presence, you're going to notice that as you sow it, you'll reap it. As you sow it, you'll reap it. And as you sow spending time with me, that you'll see more and more of my power flow through you without you even saying a word. Without you having to really hardly even do anything, that people will just know that you carry my presence and they will respond and they will ask you, what is it about you? What do you have? And you'll be able to tell them. And the Lord says that as you press into my presence and spend that time with me, then people will be able to pick up on it right away. And they may not even be saved or anything, but they're going to know. God is with you. Tell me how to have what you have. Amen.
Amen. I'm so happy. Yes.
What was the happy part?
That people are going to come and they're going to ask me what it is about me and I get to point to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What will you tell them?
Just what he's done in my life and that he's the one that lives in my heart. I usually just, he just flows through me sometimes, but that's just that it's him, that it's not me, it's that he lives in me. I just point to him. It's usually not the same thing, right? I just share my testimony and how good he's been to me, how he took me from nothing and brought me so far, and how I'm just so grateful for everything he's done in my life. It's always something along those lines.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't be afraid to sow that seed. I'm watering it, fertilizing it, and as you sow, there is a great harvest. It is coming. You will see it. The Lord says that there won't be just tens or twenties or even hundreds. The Lord says, I'm just increasing and increasing the hunger in people's hearts as pressures increase in the years, just a few years here to come, that you will literally minister not just to hundreds, but to thousands at a time. But the Lord says you've been faithful. You've been faithful, and you're going to see not just that 30 or 60, but a hundredfold increase. And a hundredfold is many more times than 100 times. You know, 100 times one is 100, but a hundredfold is many, many, many. I mean, 100-fold is like a number too big for us to even say what it is.
Wow. Wow. That's intense. Wow.
Keep telling.
I just got to take it day by day.
Pardon?
Day by day. I just got to take it day by day and see him every day, day by day, what he does. I'm just so excited.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Enthusiasm means of God or in God, something like that. That's what the word enthusiasm means.
Yeah. Well, I like what you said. I love what you said, that it's not about fulfilling our ministry or calling or anything, that it's all about knowing him.
Mm-hmm.
And just everything else just come along. So I'm just excited. Yeah, just want to go to sleep so I can wake up. Impressive.
You want to go to sleep so you can wake up.
If I could wake up and press into my morning devotionals with him.
Oh, well, you don't have to wait. It'll be morning soon in just a little over an hour.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Carlotta. I hope you have a
You're
wonderful
welcome.
Night.
You're welcome. Okay. Bless you. It's been my pleasure to sow into all of you. Just, you know, one day I'm going to be able to look back and say, I remember them. Hallelujah. I remember them. Thank you, Lord. It's just such a pleasure. You know, if I knew the application of all these, I might either be scared to give the word or too excited, but God will show you. Okay, now we have a lot of other callers, but no one else has pushed one to show me that you would like me to call on you. So, who will push that one first to show me? Do you would like to either share a testimony or receive ministry? We've got time for at least one more. One more. Push that number one. I want to pray for those of you, too, that have been nudged by the Lord to receive a psalmist anointing to sing God's songs to him. I encourage you to do that. I've been trying to get the courage for that. So I'm going to pray for you. How about that? Amen. Area code 786, welcome to the program. 786. Oh, maybe they pushed number one and didn't mean to. You can push it again and take it off. Area code 786. Can't hear you yet. Maybe you pushed mute. I don't know. All right, I'll just come back. Area codes, let's see, 727, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Jan from Florida.
Hi, Jan.
Hi.
What's up?
I enjoyed the program tonight. I'm just thankful to God that he's opening up, I think, areas that I maybe doubted I was hearing his voice very well. But it's like a rapid acceleration now of hearing it, and I'm just grateful for that. And he's really infusing me with confidence because he's drawing me into himself. It's wonderful.
Amen.
Yeah. And, yeah, I have been told I have a psalmist anointing, and I have just started singing more like in the spirit during services, either, you know, up front in worship, or I'll just step up and somebody will put a mic in front of me. So, but I'd like to flow even more in that. I believe he has that.
The Lord was giving a word before I knew who it was for.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, I just thank you for Jan, Lord. The Lord says, I've put hurdle after hurdle, and you've not only become a runner to run your race, but a high jumper to jump over those hurdles. And I've been increasing your discernment to know what's a hurdle to be jumped over and what is what I call people, says the Lord. You don't just jump over people. You press in and say, Lord, you know, how would you like to flow through me? to this person. And the Lord says they're not just an obstacle in your path, but it's a way for you to be my love and power to them. And the Lord says, as I bring healing to flow through your hands and, you know, my love to flow through your words and your actions, that people will know me. And they want to know me. They want to know that I'm real. But it's hard for them to believe I'm real when Christians aren't real. And the Lord says, I'm just going to be giving you more and more opportunities to operate in the supernatural, to pray for people to be healed. Don't be surprised when you're just out and about running errands and learn to say, who's next? Who's next? Because it's me. I'm giving you more and more and more opportunities to minister just to people along your way, just like I showed you as Jesus did. And expect that you don't have to be behind a pulpit or a microphone. You don't have to have a position or any kind of, you know, marquee or anything. But I'm going to give you opportunities just coming and going, coming and going. Amen.
Amen, yes. Amen. That's wonderful. And sometimes I get a little... I don't know if it's fear. I guess it is. I talk easily with people when I'm out, and I have, you know, evangelized that way before. But when it comes to just flowing in conversation, you know, I feel like I can, I don't know if this is the right thing to say, but I can read people. I can discern.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know that what I'm going to say next really is from him, you know, so... That's an encouraging word.
Well, that's my promise. Open your mouth and I'll fill it, the Lord says.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Wow. Amen. Oh, thank you so much. God bless you, Carlos.
and you. There's a prophetess, Sharon Stone, that's over Christian International in Europe. People always ask her how she got to be such a, we say it lovingly, a prophesying machine. And she said, I just prophesy all day long. I don't have to have an individual in front of me. I just ask the Lord, word of the Lord for this street and that neighborhood and this business. So I just keep prophesying. And I thought, now there's something I can practice. I can do that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's see if we can... squeeze in one more. I'm trying to push these little digital buttons. Area code 786, welcome to the program. Area code 786. Still can't get through on that one. And how about area code 410? Welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. This is Valerie from Maryland.
Well, hello, Valerie. What's that doing?
I'm kind of tired today. Been a busy weekend. How are you?
Busier and busier.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I was able to listen in to some of the program tonight. Basically, I take my son up basically to bed with my iPad, and so I'm listening, and then I'll fall asleep, and then I'll wake back up. But I was able to hear some of the program tonight. I was just thinking about how, like this Saturday, I went to a women's meeting, and I was driving, and I was praying, and I was talking to the Lord just about just different things that I've seen and how the enemy has tried to hinder me. And the woman of God that spoke the same things that that I was talking to the Lord about, she talked about the same things. And I just think, wow, it is so neat. You know, I can talk to the Lord, and it's like the same things that I share from my heart, I'll hear it, you know, in the person that's speaking, basically. I'm just like, wow.
Confirmed already.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. it's really fun to be able to tune into the Holy Spirit, and you turn on the radio, and there it is. You go to church, and there it is. You go to your devotional, there it is. I think I'm tuned in.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like, wow, God, you know, I really am tuned in, because it's like everything that, you know, I'm talking to him and I'm praying to him. It's like I hear it right at the next, you know, event. And I'm just like, wow, God, you know, boy, that's good.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Amen. I just hear the Lord saying that many of my intercessors have become passive. And they've restricted their role to, quote, just praying for things. And I'm calling my intercessors to take very active roles. Now, sometimes they will pray, sometimes they will speak, sometimes they will get involved in very active ways and even feel like an activist. But the Lord says that I want my people to know that intercession is not a passive role, and how powerful prayer is. But in these last days, I'm calling you, Valerie, to be instrumental in explaining to people that when God gives them a vision, it's not always just to pass on to someone else, to ask me, how can I be involved? How can I reach your people? Or I spread the word? Or I be your love on 2 feet? And the Lord says, I just want you to be even more clear with people how I speak to you, how I give direction, how I reveal my strategies, how I change the hearts of even the kings as easily as I change riverbeds of water, so that they will not only value hearing my voice and speaking it forth, but they will anticipate me working through them and using their hands and feet to bring about the promise or the declaration or the change too. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It is
hallelujah.
Awesome. It's just awesome. Yes. I tell you, it's just you know, I'm always amazed. basically when I'm, you know, I'm hearing, you know, exactly. It's like sometimes it's like word for word, and I'm just like, wow, God. you know, I'm talking to him and just praying to him and just pouring out my heart, and I'll hear it, you know, at, you know, another event, or, and I'm just like, wow, God, you know. And
Thank you, Lord. And
sometimes just hearing it, you know, sometimes two or three times, and I'm like, okay, God, you're saying that again. This is pretty important, you know.
Right.
Again.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Again and
Amen.
Again. Yeah.
Well, have a good night.
You too.
It's a blessing. Be
God
blessed.
Bless you. Thank you so
Amen.
Much.
Amen. Amen. Let's seek the Lord. Let's ask Him to anoint our ears, our spiritual eyes, to hear Him, to see Him, sense His presence. Have a greater passion to know Him and to overflow it to others. Amen. I hope you'll invite others to come next time. And now let's hear from Gil Howard Brown.
If you're hungry, come to Him.
I'm thirsty, Lord.
If you're thirsty, come. For Jesus said, if you're thirsty, he that thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And out of his belly shall flow, out of his belly shall flow rivers of life, rivers of life. Who come from God, of God, rivers of life, rivers of life will flow out of your belly. Come and drink. We need to be like the deer,
that pants for the water. That unquenchable thirst. Come unto him now. Oh, come and be filled. Oh, come and be filled. Yes, come and be filled to overflow. Jesus wants to overflow you tonight. Saturate my heart. Let me be filled, oh Lord. I want to be filled. I don't want to leak out, Lord. Keep me full. Oh, make me more like you. like the Master, more like Jesus. Come and change me, Lord, more like you, Jesus. Lord, you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. You'll be with us even unto the end. Lord Jesus, you gave your spirit to live within our hearts. And we can be strong in the Lord. Can be strong in the Lord. When we weak, yes, then we strong. And when we poor, then we are rich. Because of the abundant life that you give. Because of the abundant life that you give, we more than conquerors.